Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
And so tonight, I'm just going to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare to try to begin to equip you and begin to bring things into light once again. Because how many of you know that we're all in a battle? It's very clear, right? There's a spiritual war going on always. Is that correct? It's always happening. And how many of you know that Jesus wants you to walk in life, wants you to walk in destiny, wants you to walk in purpose? How many of you know that? That your identity is in Him, right? How many of you also know that the thief comes to do what? Kill, steal, destroy everything, every vision, every dream you have. Even a moment that you have in the Lord where God begins to speak to you and lies begin to shift away from you and He begins to proclaim who you are. And you start hearing it, and you start believing it, and your faith begins to arise, the enemy is already devising a plan to keep you away from walking in that purpose and that destiny. Now, think about this. The enemy has been around for what? Ages and ages and ages and ages. How long are you going to be here on this earth? Not that long. And so this ancient foe of deception and lies is going to, in all his ways and purpose, to try to defeat you. And you have about 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years to prepare yourself to deal with him. Now, when I'm speaking about this, if you don't bring this into focus, I guarantee you he's going to do everything he can to get you away from walking in what God's called you to walk in. If you're not aware of it. So let me just talk a little bit about this. This is one of the greatest deceptions out there. You can write this down if you need to or however you need to do it. But the greatest trick of the devil that he's ever pulled is getting the world to believe that he doesn't exist. That he doesn't exist. That's the greatest trick that he's pulled off. And the world is beginning to call what is evil good, right? And so his trick is that he doesn't even exist. Most Christians don't even want to talk about it. Most Christians don't. They just don't even want to talk about spiritual warfare. They know that they have a God of love and he cares for us and you know, he's with us. And so that whole spiritual warfare thing, I'm just going to keep it on the side. Well, he wants you basically to dumb it down where you're not aware of what's happening around you. And so that he can begin to deceive you, and he's very good at it. Two realms that we need to know about and we need to not shrink back from. It's the realm of evil and the realm of good. We need to understand, because if we don't understand it, it's a dangerous position of ignorance, and the enemy will take you out. I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from being in the trenches. I'm speaking from being in a place of dealing with demonics. I'm speaking with casting out demons in people. I've been there, done it many different times. I didn't do it. The Lord did it. And so I'm not speaking from some ideas or some kind of, what am I wanting to say? Just like, oh, well, this is what I think about it because I've never really experienced it, but this is what I think about spiritual warfare. I want you to know that the truth is this, that there is a God and that there is Satan. I want you to know the truth is that there's a heaven and there is a hell. I want you to know the truth that there is angels and there are demons. And if we don't know this and we ignore this, then we begin to think that we are masters of our own identity or our own fate, right? We think that we can just play out our own fate because God is a God who just exists and, man, I'm the one that makes my way. Well, that's not true. And if we ignore the enemy and his tactics, then we will fall to fate in him. And so by ignoring the presence of God, we become vulnerable to evil. And we can't ignore the presence of the Lord. And what do I mean by that? Well, I remember having a conversation with someone and they said, well, you know, God's a God of love and I really don't believe that, you know, he would let anyone go to hell. And I believe that even some of these other gods that people are believing in, it's okay. And then I looked at that individual and I said to them, I said, so you're telling me that our God is a God of love and he's good. And so he sent his son on a worthless mission to go to the cross and die for us. But he didn't have to do that because it's okay because he's a God of love and everybody's going to heaven. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, everybody's going to heaven. Everything's cool. Well, then why would the Father send his son to the cross if there was another way? Then Jesus was on a worthless mission. It didn't matter because you could get to heaven some other way. Again, the biggest trick of the devil is to get people believing that he doesn't exist anymore. And he absolutely wants to defeat you and to destroy you. Ignoring the presence of the Lord causes us to be vulnerable to evil. Whether we like it or not, every one of us and in the world is in a spiritual battle, in a spiritual war. And the Lord wants to impart his life into us. If you look at Revelations 20:10, did I give you that, 20:10, Revelations 20:10? I might have. I don't know if I did or not. But one of the good things about me speaking tonight is this. We know who wins. And in Revelations 20:10, it speaks about what? It speaks about the enemy being cast down forever. I got to go there. Kirsten, are you going to beat me there? She did? Okay. Yeah. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we know that we win. We know that he's defeated. I'm just going to share a couple other things. Paul discusses the reality of a spiritual war here on earth in Ephesians 6:12. And many of you know that, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And also in Ephesians 1, it speaks about us walking this thing out in the Lord. God wants to shift the atmosphere in your life. He wants to shift it in my life. He wants us no longer to live in the place of lies, but in the place of truth. And my concern for you and for me is that we don't believe the things that the enemy tries to throw at us day in and day out, but we won't be able to discern it or move against it if we don't desire to be in the presence of the Lord and understand that there's a battle raging over you. And so we can't become ignorant of it. The enemy's been lying over us. Like, let me just say one thing. Let's just talk about the deception of maybe fear. Maybe in that area, the enemy's just been lying to you and causing you to fear, where the Lord wants to come in with truth and strengthen you and tell you that he hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He wants you to be in the presence, his presence, that will overcome the fear. Amen. Okay. So tonight, again, speaking about spiritual warfare, the way that we move through this and the way that we go forward, and you need to pin this if you can, the way that we go forward is that we emphasize and we know that we need wisdom moving forward in spiritual warfare. There's an old European saying that expresses this very well. It says, age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Age and treachery, which the enemy's been around forever, will always defeat youth and zeal. So before engaging in spiritual warfare and taking authority, each and every one of you need to know a little bit about your enemy. You need to know about his tactics. You need to know that he is an ancient foe who is extremely treacherous, and he can deceive you in a powerful way. My experience, again, with many Christians is that they allow the lies to deceive them after a period of time, and all of a sudden, they live in a place of idealism, and they're untested, and they begin to just live and flow through life, and the enemy begins to have them and destroy them. Again, 5-10 years of ministry, all of a sudden it's weakened because they forget about the battle that's raging around them. Without warning and without knowing, their enemy, their vision is going to deteriorate. What happens in those situations? Well, there's a relentless attack on men and women of God, always. Always a relentless attack. And the enemy wants you to grow in frustration in your walk with God. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to compromise, and that compromise will begin to increase. And the iniquity of the spiritual bondage will begin to increase within your life. And I believe that it's not so much sin that binds us, but ignorance. And so the Lord wants us to grow in wisdom and to proceed with wisdom. When Jesus showed his disciples spiritual warfare, he cast out demons in front of them, and then he sent them to cast out demons. But one of the things that he said before he sent them to cast out demons, he said, be leery as a serpent and what? Harmless as a dove. What does that mean? That means this. He wants you to be wise in the ways of the enemy and wise in the ways of the Lord, but he also wants you to be innocent. He wants you to be harmless as a dove. He wants you to have a childlikeness about you where you desire to be Christ-like. Because even in spiritual warfare, if you begin to get prideful about who you are, the enemy is going to kick your rear in an easy way because he'll set you up to chop you down. Now, you can stand up here or you can sing and sing all those songs about kicking the devil, but you know what? A lot of times people do that and they don't understand the war that they're about ready to enter into. They don't even understand who they're singing this to. And so many times we're just ignorant about the battle. You say, Bob, how do you know that? I just know it from experiencing it, not from just reading about it. And so we'll just do all this warfare, and not many people have experienced any real warfare of even dealing with anything. And so they become casualties of war. And here's the thing. The enemy, he's not going to come and just trash you. He's just going to come and deceive you and move you just a little more away from intimacy with Jesus and knowing Christ in his presence and living in his word. He's just going to get you to begin to live on your own and map out your own destiny. And it will be so subtle because why? He's a deceiver. And it's subtle. And he gets you away. All of you in this room are called to be men and women of intimacy, men and women of fire. You guys are living in an age when the return of Christ, I believe, is going to happen. You're living to be prepared. But if you begin to dial down or dummy down away from the things of the Spirit, then all of a sudden you're going to be consumed. I'm going to be consumed. And you can't get prideful when you begin to walk in the ways of spiritual warfare. That's why wisdom and innocence, humility, is always going to be at the forefront of walking out your spiritual warfare and having authority over the enemy. And I'm not going into a whole lot of detail tonight, but I'm just kind of setting up for the when we come back to the meeting place, because I'm going to have some lessons on this to really take people deeper and really deal with some of the strongholds that are in our lives. And some strongholds, you might even think, they're not strongholds. Oh, yes, they are. Because they've taken you and they've moved you away from the risen Christ. They've taken you away from Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. It's a worthless mission if there was another way to God. There's not. Only through him. Man, I wish you'd have been here this Sunday. We still have the notes out because Corey Stark was speaking about Jesus in the Old Testament. And how Jesus showed up all the time in the Old Testament. He was everywhere in the Old Testament. That's why he got on the Sadducees and Pharisees and said, you read the scripture, but you don't even know it's me. Moses spoke about me, and you don't know that I'm him. Because they were deceived by the enemy. They couldn't see. They didn't know. And I'm encouraging you to just press into the things of the Lord and grow in the ways of God and know the enemy is after you. Again, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We don't sit there like dwelling and worrying, but we aren't ignorant either. We're growing in spiritual warfare. We're growing in wisdom. We're growing in understanding of how to deal with the enemy, an ancient foe who's been around for years and years and years. How many of you know that he undermines relationships? He undermines relationships. The last thing he wants you to have is unity with anybody. He's going to cause, in Matthew 24, he's going to cause your love to grow cold, and he's going to also cause your love to be cautious about even loving anybody or allowing somebody to love you. That's him. That's not Jesus. That's him. He plays those games, and he begins to kind of get you in that place where you're offended. That's not Jesus. If you're in a trial right now, the scripture says to count it all joy. You know what I mean? When you go through a trial, what is that? Okay, we can have joy when we're rejoicing up here and jumping around and clapping and singing. It's great. It's awesome. I'll have joy playing. But what about when you're going through a trial? What kind of joy is that? What does that mean? What does that mean when you're so sick and all of a sudden you're saying you're coming against the devil and all this stuff because he's trying to kill you and God's trying to get your attention in the midst of your pain, even in your sickness, because he wants to speak something deep to you about divine justice and things he needs to move around, and he couldn't get your attention any other way unless he allowed you to be humbled, unless he allows you to get fully. How many of you know when you're really down and out and sick, when you get sick, that you're like, God, help me? Okay? Why is it that through suffering it seems like he speaks the loudest? Well, he really doesn't through suffering. He speaks loud all the time. He's always speaking, and we just need to listen and let him speak to us. But the point that I'm making is it's not always the devil's fault. The Lord is trying to prepare you. He's trying to get your attention. I've heard people say, don't ever waste the trial. Use it for the glory of God. Let God speak to you. Many of you are in that place in a trial right now. And the Holy Spirit wants to help you. And you'll keep trying to muscle or trying to figure out what do you need to do to make this situation right. It might be in your family. And what you need to do is to bow down and get before the Lord and pray and know that the Holy Spirit wants to give you direction and wisdom of how to navigate through this situation that the enemy would jump on with fervor if you allow him to do that. Is anybody with me tonight? You see what I mean? This is a spiritual war. It's a battle. The first scripture I taught my boys was 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I wanted them to know that with truth. I wanted them to be able to call on that at any time. The enemy will resist you in prayer many times. The enemy will turn you weak. He will cause disillusionment to set in. And I've spoken to men and women that have failed to discern the enemy's tactics, and it's happened in my own life. When that begins to happen, you almost stand unprotected because all of a sudden you're disillusioned and you're worried and things begin to change, and that disillusionment, all of a sudden the enemy, this ancient foe who's been around, like I said, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, has his way. You need to be prepared for warfare. Focus is Jesus, but you need to be prepared for warfare. For everything is about warfare around your life because the enemy hates you. When I talked about wisdom and innocence, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, Matthew 10:16. This is a divine fusion that needs to take place within your life. This is the foundation. This is the taproot of being able to stand in the midst of much opposition. This is the reason that you can have spiritual victory, is when you become wise in the ways of the enemy and you become innocent, you become humble. You don't try to figure it out or fight it on your own. We can defeat the enemy. Amen. We can defeat the enemy. We are seated in heavenly places. We are overcomers. We can defeat the enemy. But we must proceed with wisdom. And we must seek wisdom. We must ask for wisdom each and every day. We must ask for Christ-likeness, to have that virtue within us. And that virtue of Christ-likeness is what brings forth victory in our life. Humility will always be the key. Pride always comes before the fall. That was the first thing that I wanted to share. And the second thing is this. Remember this, and I've had to learn this lesson several times the hard way. Remember that whatever spiritual plane that you think you are on, remember that Adam was in paradise when he fell. Before you get confident, remember that Solomon wrote several books. And he actually, it says in the scripture that he gazed upon the glory of God and he fell. Before you get high-minded or think that you've got it together. Even in your deepest worship, worshipers, even in your deepest worship of the Almighty, don't forget that in ages past, Lucifer himself was one who was in heaven pouring out praise to God. I say those things to just consider and think about it, because the worst thing that could happen is that you would think that you've attained some level of spiritual superiority. Because our enemy has been deceiving men and women forever. Our life is a brief moment. Don't approach the battle with a flippant attitude. And I would say this, be ready, in season and out of season. I want to ask you to raise your hands of how many have heard or dealt with demons in your life. But this very thing was something that, you did raise your hands. This very thing is what really got me in trouble, because Voice did a lot of deliverance ministry, and we still do. And there was several years, and I've told this story, some people have heard it before, but there was a time there that all of a sudden, you know, because the demons were fleeing, we were dealing with stuff, and they were taking a lot of people of dealing with some of the demonic things and getting them out of the way so Jesus would speak truth and light and see freedom and see deliverance happen in people, that I had a couple that came to our church just a long time ago. They're not in the area anymore. You wouldn't know them. And they had a son who was a worship leader. And all of a sudden, things began to change within his life, and he had opened the door up to some real dark demonic stuff. And so they had all the family one night at the house, and I get a phone call and said, "Hey, Pastor Bob, can you come over? We don't know what to do with him. We've prayed, and he's manifesting. All this stuff is happening." And I said, "Okay, I'll come." And so I came over and basically got dealt with some of it, prayed, had them pray in another room, and finally got him into a place of peace, and he was able to go to sleep, you know, and he was okay. And I said, "Well, we'll follow up and go to the church, and we'll have some intercessors, and we'll find out exactly what's going on here." And so the next day, I get a phone call, and everybody's gone except the father and this son. And the father is saying, "You've got to get over here, Pastor Bob." And he's telling me what's happening. And so I'm thinking that I've got all this authority. You know, I've been doing all this stuff. So I had a flippant attitude towards spiritual warfare. And because I was seeing things happen. I was seeing things happen all the time. And so I get there, and I'll never forget that as soon as I walked in the door, he was on the floor, and he looked, he goes, "Hi, Pastor Bob." And I said, "Hi." And then, boom, full-blown manifestation, you know, using every vulgar word you could think of, you know, at me. And so I started, like, taking authority and dealing with it as we would normally do, and it didn't work. Nothing was happening. I was like, "What's going on?" It always works, you know? And I began to, all of a sudden, I started getting a little fear cropping up in me, because this is out of control. And the father said, "Let me call 911. I said, "No, we're okay." And the next thing happens is this guy, there's kind of he went up to a wall, like a segregated wall, and he started doing his hands like this, his knuckles on the wall, until there was just nothing but blood. He was rubbing and screaming. I went up, and now things are out of control. The father's out of control. I'm out of control. And I grab him, and I begin wrestling with him to pull him down. That's just, you don't do that in deliverance ministry. And all of a sudden, we're wrestling, and I finally bind this guy up, and he's screaming. And the guy literally just looks at me right in the face with this evil look and starts to bite off his tongue in my face. This is a true story. And, of course, blood is going everywhere on me. And, of course, I looked at the father and said, "Call 911. Because I was everything was out of control. Call 911. And so when they got there, two people from the fire department, two people from the police department, two police officers, and they finally had to tape him down on a gurney because he was just so, he couldn't control him. And the police officer was saying, "What kind of drugs?" I said, "There's no drugs." He's going, "There's got to be drugs." I said, "No, there's not." I said, "It's demonic." And he looked at me like I was nuts, you know. I said, "It's a demon, you know." "Okay, what kind of drugs are you on, you know?" So basically, they took him out. He was clean, didn't have any drugs in him. And so when I left that place, I was like, you know, I was like down there. I was so humbled. And I was like, how could you do that to me? Where were you? You know, all that stuff. Well, what that was my pride. My pride was hurt, you know. I was broken. I was like, where were you at? And God took that and humbled me in a big way. And, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, this must happen with much prayer and fasting. You know, I'm going through all the things, and I'm calling people and people that I know that are well-equipped in spiritual warfare. And I just got my butt kicked by the enemy, an ancient foe, in a big way. And so what I did was I said, okay, once I learned my lesson and humbled myself before the Lord, I called the father. They got him out of the hospital. I said, bring him to the church. We're going to have intercessors, and I'm going to have an intercessor in the room, and we're going to work with him. Now he was on our territory instead of me being foolish and going there with nobody praying for me and going and dealing with something like that. And what happened to that guy? He got completely delivered and got free. And Jesus showed up in a big way in his life. But you see, spiritual warfare has to do with wisdom and humility. That's the point I'm making. You can't just be flippant about this. So in this upcoming 2017, I'm going to give some specifics where I'm going to equip people about spiritual warfare more and more and more so that they're prepared and equipped to deal with things that they're going to be facing. Seek the Lord for wisdom and strategies. Proverbs 20:18 says, prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. I love that. I'm bringing attention to the battle, and the mind is the biggest battlefield. And what men and women call salvation, it's awesome. But let me just say this. It's the first stage of God's plan for you, salvation. It's the first stage. It's a huge one. It's the open door, but it's only the beginning. Because his ultimate plan is to have his character manifesting through you. And if we fail to get to that place and we don't allow areas in our life to be changed and they remain unchanged, then you're opening the door up to the enemy's tactics. One of the first things I want to teach about is pulling down of strongholds. It's found in 2 Corinthians 10:25. It's the demolition and the removal of all the old ways of thinking and allowing God to renew your mind and bringing down those strongholds. He wants you free. He desires for you to be free. Your old ways of thinking gone. And then you begin to move in the actual presence of the Lord, and he renews your minds, and he manifests his thoughts and his ways in you. Strongholds need to be confronted. And some of you can even confront them with him. Why don't you stand? Let me give you this simple truth before we pray. And hold on to this. Remember, your rebellion toward God provides a place for the devil in your life. And so tonight, repent. Ask God to forgive you of every place that you can recognize that you've rebelled. Ask God to help you not to just think that you're a man of your own destiny or a woman of your own destiny or your own fate, but include God to be a part of your life to help you walk out your destiny, your identity, and your fate. If the enemy has been using tactics to cause you to shrink back from truth, if it's shame, you feel shame, can I tell you this? Let's change the atmosphere of shame over your life, and let's start letting the atmosphere of what Jesus says about you in your mind and in your thoughts. And saying, in the name of Jesus, all shame leave. And let Jesus begin to tell you who you are. What if it's powerlessness? Or what if it's fear? And he's controlling you by that. Why don't you just say, in the name of Jesus, all fear leave. And may the truth of who I really am and the love of God have its way in me. See, you got to change the atmosphere by crying out in prayer. You got to change the atmosphere by repenting. You change the atmosphere by pressing into God's presence. And then he renews you. He revives you. He causes realignment to happen. But it's a battle, and it's raging. The Holy Spirit can come and speak. And even tonight, you can start accepting truth about your destiny in God. Let's just take a moment to just pray. Let's just get in that spirit of prayer. We just have a couple minutes here. Let's just ask the Lord to begin to lead us, to renew our minds, to ask him his plan for us. Lord Jesus, just come. Holy Spirit, come. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, no longer being rebellious, turning from their wicked ways, seeking your face and your provision, that you'll bring healing. The enemy will not have a place in your life anymore. Lord, I ask for your truth to come and your freedom to come. Just surrender to the Lord tonight. Just fully surrender every area, every habitual sin that is still happening in a where people don't even know about it. Just surrender it all and ask him to forgive you. Forgive you of compromise. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would move by your presence and your spirit to cause deception to leave hearts tonight. Let all deception leave hearts tonight. In your name, all deception, leave hearts tonight in the name of Jesus. And by the power of your name, Jesus, individually and corporately, we bind the satanic influences that's reinforcing compromise and sin within us. We submit to you, O Lord. We submit to you, the light and the spirit of truth. Have your way within us. Expose everything. By the power of the Spirit, by the power of your word. Yes, God. Lord, we're asking tonight that the only stronghold we have in us is you and your presence. Jesus, be our stronghold. Be our stronghold. Jesus, be our stronghold tonight. If you sense that or feel that, just be able to decree that. Jesus, be my stronghold tonight. Be my stronghold tonight. If you need to shout it or just speak it out over yourself. Jesus, be my stronghold. Be the stronghold within me. Every deception is gone. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Holy Spirit, come as we accept truth tonight. Yes, God. Just repeat this after me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. Just keep asking God to speak to you, to grow you up in wisdom and intimacy. You guys can walk this out. You can learn. You can grow. Just know that God wants you to walk in His delight, in His ways, and the enemy wants you dead. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. How many times has he probably tried to kill every one of us in here? I mean, how many times? And let me again emphasize this. The biggest trick of the devil is to get the world and people thinking that he doesn't exist. Don't be foolish. Just ask God to give you wisdom. Don't be ignorant. Just know that he's after you. You don't have anything to fear when you're resting in the presence of the living God, when you're trusting in Jesus, when you know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you know what? I've had things come against me where I had to lay all night with the Bible and proclaim that. And I got free. But I pressed into it. I pressed into it. You guys press into it. Okay? Don't let the enemy have his way. In Jesus' name. Amen.